Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Tuesday, June 21st. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Judge Orders Against Removing DA, by Stuart Doreen. Judge Kelly Moore of Lubbock refused to order a citation in David Wilson's petition to remove Midland County District Attorney Laura Nodolph, thereby ending the action against Midland's top prosecutor. County officials told the Reporter-Telegram on Monday that Moore issued the order denying for issuance of citation and dismissing action. Around 11 a.m. this morning, I received notice from the Honorable Senior Judge Kelly G. Moore that the court signed an order denying the petition to remove me as the Midland County District Attorney, Nodolph stated in an email to the Reporter-Telegram. Petitions for removal create a distraction not only for me, but those in the District Attorney's office as well. I appreciate the time and consideration the court took in ruling on this matter and the well-reasoned decision. It is gratifying to have this matter concluded so we can continue to work on behalf of the citizens of Midland County. Moore had been appointed to oversee judicial proceedings after Judge Leah Robertson asked the presiding regional judge to assign a visiting judge. The lawsuit was filed in the 385th District Court. Having considered the applicable case law, the statutory authority, and all of the facts and circumstances set out in the verified pleadings on file surrounding the prosecution of Petitioner David Wilson, and the actions of District Attorney Laura Nodolph, the court finds that the motion is not well taken and should be denied, according to the order filed. Wilson's legal team filed the petition last week. It stated that Nodolph had searched David Wilson's home without a warrant, lied to a grand jury to secure David Wilson's indictment, and abused the grand jury process in her quest to win. Allison Clayton, an attorney for Wilson, told the Reporter-Telegram last week that if Judge Moore refused to issue the citation, the petition is dismissed without the possibility of appeal. This was the second time in less than 2 years that a visiting judge dismissed a lawsuit that called for the removal of elected officials inside Midland County. In October of 2020, a nonprofit organization called Save Lee Rebels and its board president, Carrie McNeil, filed a petition that called for the removal of five Midland ISD board members in the 238th District Court. Visiting Judge Tryon Lewis, sitting by assignment in the 238th District Court, dismissed the lawsuit in January 2021 with the costs of court assessed against the petitioners. This article is entitled Report: Midland is Texas's Wealthiest County. County also ranks 37th nationally for overall wealth, by Stuart Doreen. Midland County ranks as the wealthiest county in the state, according to a study by SmartAsset.com. The financial advice website reported Midland County ranked number one in per capita income, $126,631, number one in per capita investment income, $59,283, and that Midland County beat out Travis County, Kendall County, Collin County, and Gillespie County for the number one spot on Smart Assets study. The only other Permian Basin county ranked in the top 10 for overall wealth is Glasscock County, 6th. Other Permian Basin counties ranked in the study included Reeves, 3rd for per capita income and per capita investment income, and Martin, 4th for per capita income and per capita investment income. Midland also ranked 37th nationally for overall wealth and 13th for per capita income investment and 13th for per capita income. To identify the wealthiest counties, Smart Asset compared all U.S. counties across three metrics: investment income, property value, and per capita income. The wealth index for all U.S. counties was based on a combination of those metrics, according to Smart Asset. Midland's median home value, $279,569, according to the study, ranked 20th in the state. The median home value across the state was $154,965. The average per capita income across the state was $55,129, according to the study. The average per capita investment income was $12,090. This article is called Biz Buzz. It is entitled "Playing Dress Up at the Party Trunk." A different kind of dress shop offers fancy attire for Midlanders to step out. By Faith Dolan, Midland Reporter Telegram. For women in Midland, finding a dress for a formal event can be a daunting task. Attire for proms, balls, charity events, or fancy dinners can break one's wallet. Because of that difficulty, Debbie Hightower has made it more accessible and affordable for women in Midland to find a dress at a discounted price. The Party Trunk, a store that operates via consignment, allows women to shop for dresses and earn money from the dresses sitting in the back of their closets. For many years, women have talked about wishing that there was a place to take clothes and resale, you know, at a lower cost, because Midland is pretty far from a lot of places, Hightower said. So Hightower decided to make this vision come true. On January 3, 2020, she woke up and decided that she was going to start that shop and manage it in her house. Since then, her business has proven to be very successful. It started out in a tiny closet, and now it's totally filled up a three-car garage, Hightower said. We moved out every workout equipment and everything. Debbie Hightower's garage definitely resembles the wardrobe of a fairy tale princess. It carries a wide range of sizes, colors, patterns, and designs. There is definitely something for everyone who goes to her shop. However, despite its convenience, some individuals may find the location of the shop to be a bit odd. First, people think it's kind of weird, a little strange maybe, Hightower said. But when they come in and they see what it is, they're like, usually the expression is, wow, this is not what we expected. As Hightower is a bargain shopper herself, one can expect to find the most favorable combination of factors, a good deal and high-quality clothing. Along with being a bargain shop, the Party Trunk provides a priceless experience for the women who visit. I didn't start this as a mission, but it is a type of mission because it's providing beautiful dresses at really affordable prices. I love seeing smiles and giggles, and I love seeing people feel good. As shopping can be stressful, one can take comfort in Hightower's willingness to provide a fun and affordable experience for women of all ages. It's fun to find something that you feel so good in and you're happy about, and it's something that's affordable, Hightower said. I mean, you may find a $700 dress for $200 here, and perfect tags on them. This article is entitled, "Cops Arrest ECISD Middle School Student for Possession of Weapon," by Midland Reporter Telegram. An Ector County ISD student faces felony charges after being found in possession of a gun at Bonham Middle School. ECISD reported Monday that the district and Odessa Police Department received a tip that a student attending summer school at Bonham Middle School could be in possession of a gun. ECISD police and school leaders responded immediately and found the student, a 13-year-old male, in possession of a gun. Police believe he brought the weapon to school to show other students. There was no indication he intended to harm anyone, ECISD reported in an email. He is now charged with places weapons prohibited, a third-degree felony, and will also face disciplinary action from the school district. ECISD thanked those who came forward with the information. "If you see something, say something" is more than just a slogan. It is an imperative for all of us to follow in order to help keep our community safe, ECISD added. "We also want to thank the officers and campus leaders who moved quickly to find the student and take him into custody." ECISD, together with other local law enforcement agencies, has very specific protocols in place for responding to this type of incident, and we are grateful for the cooperation between these agencies. This section is called In Brief, from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. MPD, 42-year-old man dies after collision on Front Street. A 42-year-old Midland man died Sunday evening after a collision on Front Street, according to the Midland Police Department. MPD reported Monday that around 5:45 p.m. Sunday, a Ford Ranger was traveling westbound in the inside lane of the 3000 block of West Front Street at a high rate of speed and veered into the inside lane of the eastbound lanes of travel. The Ranger struck a county coach motorhome occupying that lane of travel, according to the city. Two occupants of the motorhome were transported to the hospital for minor injuries. MPD also reported the driver of the Ford Ranger, Charles Young of Midland, was pronounced deceased due to injuries sustained from the wreck. DPS searched for info on hit-and-run fatality in Ector County. A 31-year-old Georgia man was killed in Ector County on Saturday during a hit-and-run, according to Department of Public Safety troopers. DPS reported Monday that the crash happened at 2:20 a.m. and preliminary information revealed that an unknown vehicle was traveling southbound on Loop 338 at milepost 284. A pedestrian identified as David Cohavong, 31, of Rossville, Georgia, was intoxicated and in the roadway. The pedestrian was struck by the unknown vehicle, which fled the scene, according to DPS. If anyone has information about this crash, please contact Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS or the Texas Department of Public Safety at 432-498-2131. DPS, rollover kills one, hurts another near Fort Stockton. A 22-year-old Fort Stockton woman died, and a 17-year-old woman was sent to the hospital after a rollover June 14th in Pecos County, according to the Department of Public Safety. DPS reported Monday that Celeste Pamela Adriansen was driving a 2015 Chevrolet Suburban northbound on U.S. Highway 385 around 9:55 a.m. It was around 30 miles south of Fort Stockton that the driver failed to navigate a slight curve in the roadway, had the Suburban veered off the east side of the roadway, overcorrected, and rolled, according to DPS. Adriansen, who was not wearing a seatbelt, died at the scene. DPS also reported Noelia Pamela Adriansen, 17, of Fort Stockton, was transported to an Odessa hospital in serious condition. Noelia was wearing a seatbelt, according to DPS. DPS, La Mesa man dies on State Highway 349, north of Midland. A La Mesa man died early Saturday after a two-vehicle collision on State Highway 349 in Martin County, according to the Department of Public Safety. Liborio Iglesias, 52, died at the scene 23 miles north of Midland after the collision, which took place at 1:45 a.m., according to DPS. DPS reported that a 2012 Kenworth truck with trailer was stopped at the stop sign marked intersection between State Highway 349 and the off-ramp of State Highway 176. It was there that the Kenworth truck then turned south onto State Highway 349 and failed to yield the right-of-way to a 2018 Dodge Journey that Iglesias was driving. The Dodge Journey then struck the Kenworth truck's trailer, according to DPS. Iglesias was not wearing a seatbelt, according to DPS. This column is called Out and About. It is entitled Vendors Share Food During Taste of the Permian Basin by Julie Donnelly, Midland Reporter, Telegram. Delicious food was abundant at the 37th annual Taste of the Permian Basin that took place at the Horseshoe. Food vendors from all over the Permian Basin cooked up some of their featured menu items for the hundreds of hungry attendees. You could even find restaurants that were serving up experimental recipes to get feedback. The carefree style of choosing your own selections started with getting a plate, then filling it with whatever sounds good at the moment. A fourth of your plate could be Indian food, while the other quarters donned a pastrami sandwich, cheese nachos, and beef tenderloin. That was my daughter's plate. Restaurants also stirred up a few of their specialty drinks. Beer, soft drinks, and water were also found in nearby oversized tin troughs. Cheering could also be heard when someone won their bid from the numerous silent auction items that were up for grabs. The event is hosted by the Permian Basin Restaurant Association. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, June 21st. James Jim Story. James Jim Story, 89, of Midland, passed away on June 16th in Denton. The family will receive friends from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, June 21st at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Wednesday, June 22nd at First Baptist Church, Midland Chapel, officiated by Dr. Darren Wood and Dr. Daniel Vestal. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Jim was born on August 9, 1932, in Corsicana, Texas, to James and Ann Story. Jim is survived by his wife of 69 years, Gail, his son Jimmy, Amy Story, son David Story, and daughter Ann Story, as well as 9 grandchildren, his brother Peter, Michelle Story, along with a number of nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents, James and Ann Story. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to liferecovered.com. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim. I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, June 21st. Trustee selection, principal hiring on agenda. The selection of a new school board member hiring a principal at Jordan Elementary School and adoption of the 2022-23 budget are among the items that will be deliberated by the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees Tuesday. They will also have a public hearing at 5 p.m. in the first floor boardroom at 802 North Sam Houston Avenue on an amendment to an agreement for limitation on appraised value between ECISD and 1.5 P1 LLC. There also will be a Level 3 grievance hearing in closed session. Selection of a school board member will be announced. Candidates are Randy Adams, James Drexler, Tony Hardesty, Dennis Jones, Travis Overton, John Ravenault, David Soville, and Robert Thayer. Special presentations include the Extra Mile Award to Lorraine Perryman, Lisa Wyman, and Chris Cole, and presentation of State Board of Education Student Hero Awards to OC Tech's Ashley Manquero. Introductions to Visual Arts Scholastic Events, VASE, State Qualifiers, and recognition of Shijay Siva Kumar for placing in a tie for 9th at the Scripps National Spelling Bee, May 31st through June 2nd in Washington, D.C. A public hearing for adoption of the 2022-2023 official budget and a request for approval of a resolution to calculate the property tax rates is also scheduled. it's anticipated that the overall tax rate will stay the same at $1.17792 per $100 valuation. The board recap from the June 14th workshop said, a school board in Texas is legally required to approve three separate budgets. The general fund budget, which is predicted to be $338,720,000. The debt service budget projected at $27,547,576. And the school nutrition budget at $18,115,065. All are balanced budgets. The highlights of the general fund budget come from the 2022-23 compensation plan, which trustees approved last month. Starting teacher salary raised to $58,750. In 2017-18, ECISD starting teacher salary was $44,500. Everyone on the teacher pay scale will get a minimum increase of $2,000. 4% general pay increase at midpoint for hourly employees, campus-based and central office. 3% of midpoint pay increase for all professional employees, campus-based and central office. Raise minimum wage to $15 per hour. This is up from $10 an hour 2 years ago. The pay increase comes at a cost of approximately $9.3 million to the district's budget, the recap stated. During the discussion June 14th, it was noted the two largest expenditures by function are instruction, which is 60% of the general fund budget, and maintenance and operations, which is 10% of the general fund budget. Superintendent Scott Murray said June 14th that home values have increased, but homestead exemptions also have gone up. The state recommends that districts have at least 90 days' worth of reserve funds or fund balance, and ECISD plans to have 109, she said. Among the other items on the agenda are possible action on a Level 3 grievance hearing, request for approval of the principal fellowship agreement between ECISD and Texas Tech University, discussion of STAR and end-of-course data. The board will meet in closed session to discuss a principal for Jordan Elementary. They will vote when they get out. Discussion of and request for approval of revisions to local board policies for the District of Innovation Renewal Plan. Engineer met big challenges during oil career. Smith reflects on 17 years he worked in Central West African oil nation. Working for ExxonMobil for 17 years in Equatorial Guinea was a profound experience for industrial engineer Jeff Smith, who came to appreciate the tyrannized people of EG, as it usually is called, and to work overtime dealing with the government, which is often criticized by the U.S. Department of State and human rights groups. Since oil was found offshore there in the Gulf of Guinea in the mid-1990s, the Central West African nation has been a bonanza for President Teodoro Obiang Nguema Mbasogo and his relatives and friends, but those riches have not done much to improve the lives of its 1.4 million citizens. EG produces about 300,000 barrels of oil a day. Smith worked in Qatar and Venezuela before going to EG in 2000, so working rotationally in a foreign country was not in most aspects a new thing. We had an independent drilling contractor found with a pistol in his luggage at the airport and often quite a bit of discussion. He ended up going to the Black Beach prison, he said, referring to one of the most infamous prisons in the world, where Obiang was the dictator. Before assuming the presidency in 1979, coup d'etat, and having his uncle executed. Working through the American embassy, we finally got the contractor released after 2 weeks, with the embassy providing him food, bed sheets, and a pillow. He was going to go straight to the airport and leave the country. No one is allowed to have firearms there except the military and police. You also can't have a camera or take photos. If the military sees you with a camera, they will take it. Smith is a native of San Antonio who graduated from Texas A&M and worked for Marathon Petroleum for 10 and a half years before joining Mobil, which had yet to merge with Exxon. He and his wife, Ray, have two children and four grandchildren. Smith had worked for ExxonMobil's environmental safety and regulatory departments in West Texas and New Mexico, and his duties expanded in EG, where he was involved in drilling, operating, maintenance, safety, environmental, emergency preparedness, and security with advisors who secured the company's compound on the island of Bioko, 30 miles offshore. Smith also helped maintain relations with EG officials who asked questions about the company's operations. "I had to explain a lot to them," he said. "When I first got there, the minister I was dealing with didn't like me because I was new and different. But after a while, we developed a good working relationship." Noting that ExxonMobil has trained and employed 600 local citizens, Smith said the government often arrested and jailed people for obscure reasons. "The other thing was that some of our workers had deeds to land and built small houses, but the government would just come along and confiscate their property and not compensate them, so they had to find other places to live," he said. "Their judicial system is not as formal as ours by any means. There are very few lawyers." In a recent report, the State Department cited significant human rights issues, including credible reports of unlawful or arbitrary killings, including extrajudicial killings by the government, and torture or cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment by the government. There are arbitrary arrests or detentions, political prisoners or detainees, serious problems with the independence of the judiciary, arbitrary or unlawful interference with privacy, and serious restrictions on free expression and media, including violence or threats of violence against journalists, unjustified arrest and prosecutions of journalists, censorship, and serious restrictions on internet freedom, the State Department said. Independent from Spain since 1968, the official language in Equatorial Guinea, pronounced Guinea in Spanish, although many people speak French or English, represented by an upstream affiliate, Mobil Equatorial Guinea Incorporated, or MEGI, ExxonMobil has 40 wells producing 6,000 to 10,000 barrels of oil per day in 500 to 1,800 feet of water, while Marathon exports liquefied natural gas 40 miles north of there. The U.S. closed the embassy when former President Clinton was in power, but it was reopened under President Bush, which helped a lot with education and living conditions, Smith said. "I developed a healthy respect for the local people, and I still get emails and cards from some of them. They are very family-oriented, and some have gotten high-level jobs with the company, which has built parks, drilled freshwater wells, refurbished schools, and provided books for the students." Asked if his view on the energy policies of the Biden administration, Smith said, "I think President Biden needs to realize that electricity is generated from natural gas or coal. We will be without electricity if he shuts down the industry, so he needs to understand what is going on in the real world." Smith said America's transition to electric vehicles should be planned as an orderly progression over a period of time, and that powering 18-wheel tractor-trailer rigs with batteries is a very daunting prospect. Monumental technology has to be developed for them to be able to do what they do, he said. Organization aims to spark bullying awareness. West Texas Parents Against Bullying, a group of area parents working with Ector County ISD to raise awareness, aims to put an end to bullying. WTPAB's mission is to coordinate with ECISD and the community to bring awareness to physical, mental, and cyberbullying within the community, to provide education and prevention resources to ECISD by providing information, open communication, and more to all parties involved, an email from group organizer Amanda Province said. The community is invited to attend weekly group meetings between parents, city council representatives, and representatives from ECISD, the email said. Group meetings will be held every second Wednesday of each month at Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane. A gathering was held June 8th. ECISD board member Chris Stanley, Mayor Javier Hoven, and a representative from State Republican Representative Brooks Landgraf's office were on hand. The tentative meeting dates for the remainder of the year are July 13th, August 10th, September 14th, October 12th, November 9th, and December 14th. If these dates change or if the location of a meeting changes, that information will be made available on our Facebook. WTPAB officials say the topic of bullying can lead to emotionally charged meetings. However, attendees are expected to remain respectful of others in attendance. The email said each meeting will touch on the progress of any grievance filed through the ECISD's website, addressing any bullying incidents, sharing ideas on how ECISD can help mitigate the epidemic of bullying plaguing the district, as well as discussing any bonds, grants, or donations that can be used to help educate or train ECISD students and staff. During a June 8th meeting, Province said without change and people speaking up, children will have to keep living through bullying and experiencing the trauma. Province said she lost her brother to suicide in October 2011. It was in part because of bullying. There's never one cause of suicide. There's a very important thing to remember. But because of that, bullying is at the center of a lot of suicide prevention efforts. That's where my heart is in this, Province said. She said she has some programs for young children and teenagers around mental health, but that are age appropriate. Province also is the chair of the West Texas chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. A parent in the meeting spoke about how their children had suffered through bullying at ECISD, enduring dislocated bones and sexual assault, but going through the process went nowhere. Some reports were never investigated, and the advocacy could come back on them in some instances. What we're hoping for in this group can coalesce around a training program that, again, we can give to you, that we can give to the county, and again, it's an educational process. We all have to be aware of the past. We want to try and stop this in the future. And the way it's going to stop is by education and training, and then making sure everybody's on the same page, so that there's no misunderstanding of when something like this happens. What do we tell the victim? ECISD board member Chris Stanley said, "You're hearing victims being denied information about how to help them, and it's a specific person in some cases. It's a specific bureaucracy in other cases, and we're better than that," Stanley added. From a conflict resolution perspective, the missing piece of this puzzle would be an ombudsman, Stanley said, an intermediary that works between two to expedite the issue. And again, that costs money, but if that's going to lessen the amount of time that it takes and bring the truth to light quicker, then that's money well spent, Stanley said. He added that one of the things he appreciated about the group is their willingness to share so you can see where the holes are and whether those holes are provided by a third-party group or whether they're provided internally. The process is cumbersome. It wasn't designed to be expedient. What we're seeing now is that the problems that we possibly weren't dealing with in the past, but the problems that we're seeing now today, and we can guess in the future, are going to require more expediency. Social emotional learning. We know that the kids are really hurting, Stanley said. He added that there are fight sites online where people can view videos of fights. We have to be able to respond as fast as social media can, he said. Stanley said the blame game is easy, but building bridges is harder. He endorsed getting everyone directly engaged. When you see where the fights are happening, they're outside after school, and if you put teachers and parents in specific places, you can minimize the incidents. Quick hits. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR tests drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Storytime. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Storytime Boat Races for ages 0 through 7 from 10:30 a.m. to noon today in the auditorium. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Blood Drives. Vitalant has scheduled the following blood drives. Today, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Sawyer Insurance, 817 South Stockton Avenue, Monahans. Wednesday, noon to 5 p.m., Gravity, 32 County Road, 203 Pecos. Thursday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., Kodiak Glass Services, 1310 South County Road, 1180 Midland. June 25th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Music City Mall, 4101 East 42nd Street. June 29th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Western Midstream, 991 County Road 300, Mentone. June 30th, noon to 5 p.m., Back in Motion Chiropractic, 1113 South Scurry, Big Spring. To make an appointment, visit donorsvitalant.org. ECUD Meeting, the Ector County Utility District, 1039 North Moss Avenue, has scheduled a 6 p.m. meeting today. For more information or updates, visit tinyurl.com/57CJ7YVT. West of the Pecos Rodeo. West of the Pecos Rodeo will take place from today through Saturday at the Buck Jackson Arena, 1556 South Cedar Street, Pecos. The rodeo will include a rodeo parade, bull riding, bareback riding, team roping, PRCA, tie-down roping, barrel race, old-timers reunion, sheriff's posse nightly dance, hide race, wild cow milking, boot scramble, play day series, and more. For a complete schedule of events, tickets, or information, visit PecosRodeo.com. Pirate Scavenger Hunt. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a pirate scavenger hunt through June. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Education Foundation gets grant for new music program. The Education Foundation of Odessa announced Monday that they are the recipient of a $35,000 grant from the Ray Charitable Trust to purchase approximately 200 string instruments for a new music program for ECISD 5th grade students. ECISD plans to roll out the new 5th grade strings program over a 3-year period, beginning with the first 10 schools in 2022-23. If further funding is obtained, 10 more elementary schools would have the opportunity to add 5th grade strings in 2023-24, with 5 more schools added in 2024-25. The Fine Arts Department is ready to advance the 5th grade strings program, and the staff are excited that the program can be offered to all students, even if families cannot afford an instrument, a news release said. The importance of music education in the academy, social and emotional growth of students is well documented by scholars. According to research published by the Royal Conservatory in 2014, developing music in young children accelerates the development of speech and reading. Additionally, music training helps students build their attention span and gain precision in auditory processing. The brains of young musicians have stronger neural connections, better information processing abilities, better memory, and improved motor coordination. It is noted that young musicians have higher IQs and more empathy for others as well. The cognitive benefit of training young children in music can be manifested after as few as 20 days of music training. Other benefits of pursuing music in elementary school include building positive self-esteem, encouraging better engagement in studies department. I would like to express our appreciation to the Ray Charitable Trust for its program and to bring high-quality instruments to our students. Current research shows that on behalf of the ECISD Fine Arts Amazing Generosity, with these funds, we will be able to restart our elementary strings music education, which helps children attain their full intellectual, social, and creative potential. We are so thankful that the Ray Charitable Trust is helping make this more accessible to our ECISD students, Director of Fine Arts Aaron Hawley said in the release. Council to discuss CDBG funding. The Odessa City Council will be discussing how it ought to allocate more than $900,000 in community development block grants at its workshop Tuesday afternoon, along with making repairs to the Gertrude Bruce Historical Culture Center and awarding two grants to Homemade Wines, which hopes to move downtown. According to city documents, the city has just over $902,000 in CDBG funds available, but has received requests for funding that come to more than $1 million. Nonprofits have asked for $188,000. The West Texas Food Bank is hoping to receive just under $80,000. Greater Opportunities of the Permian Basin would like $76,000 to improve the parking lot at its Head Start facility, and Family Promise of Odessa hopes to get $20,000 to help 7 homeless families become self-sufficient. Jesus House has asked for just under $13,000 to replace an HVAC unit. The Community Development Department has asked for nearly $814,000, with $440,000 earmarked to help low and moderate income homeowners rehabilitate or reconstruct their homes, and $175,000 earmarked for moving unsafe buildings throughout the community. Another $41,000 would help people out with short-term rental assistance. According to city documents, $158,000 would go toward administration costs. The city would also discuss how to allocate the $314,000 it received in Home Investment Partnerships Program funds. The plan is to spend $235,387 on rehabilitating, reconstructing single-family residences occupied by low-income homeowners, and another $47,000 providing affordable housing help to low-income people. The remaining would be spent on administering the program. In addition, the City Council plans to discuss allocating just under $306,000 in Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act CDBG-CV funding. According to the city, just under $298,000 of the funds were returned to the Salvation Army, Centers for Children and Families, Family Promise, and Odessa Links. The council has received just under $484,000 in requests, with Family Promise asking for $270,000 and Meals on Wheels asking for just under $114,000. Administrative costs are expected to be $100,000. In other matters, the city will discuss helping out a local wine company. According to documents provided by the city, Homemade Wines hopes to move from John Ben Shepherd Parkway to a 71,000-square-foot building one block from the Marriott Convention Center at 400 North Texas Avenue by November 2023. The move will more than triple the company's current space and is expected to generate $1.1 million in annual revenue and create 24 new jobs. The owners, Chris and Kira Bowen, expect it will cost roughly $438,600 to renovate the interior of the building and $86,400 to remodel the exterior facade. They are asking the council to approve $25,000 in grants for the facade project and $133,910 grant for the interior project. The council members will also discuss whether the city ought to spend roughly $129,000 on the Gertrude Bruce Building. According to city documents, plumbing lines failed during a hard freeze in early 2021, causing water damage to the women's restroom and main meeting room, and staff has recently discovered mold growing in the damaged areas. Staff members believe the cost to conduct mold remediation and reconstruct the facility will cost about $129,100 and take 10 to 12 weeks once contracts are awarded. In other matters, the council will consider using the $110,000 raised through the 2022 Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot event on Odessa Police Department radios and technology. Six dead on roadways in recent days. Six people have lost their lives in recent days on Permian Basin roadways. In one of the most recent cases, Odessa police announced Sergio Chavarez, 33, was killed in a head-on collision shortly before 6 a.m. Monday. According to OPD, Tavares was traveling east on West Murphy Street in a Ford F-Series pickup truck when his vehicle collided head-on with a Chevrolet Silverado being driven by a 42-year-old man that had been traveling west on Murphy. Tavares died at the scene of the crash, which took place in the 6100 block. The circumstances surrounding the crash remain under investigation. On Tuesday, 22-year-old Celeste Pamela Adrianzen Calderon of Fort Stockton was killed around 10 a.m. when she failed to navigate a slight curve on U.S. 385, 30 miles south of Fort Stockton in Pecos County. According to DPS, her Chevrolet Suburban veered off the east side of the road. She overcorrected and the vehicle rolled. A 17-year-old passenger was taken to Medical Center Hospital in serious condition, DPS reported. On Thursday, Stephanie Ann Stokes, 25, of Andrews, died in a collision a couple of miles outside of Midland on Highway 80 around 3:40 p.m. According to DPS, an international truck tractor was stopped on Highway 80 blocking both westbound lanes and trying to turn onto the eastbound lanes when Stokes' Bronco hit the rear of the tractor trailer despite her attempts to avoid a collision. The driver of the truck tractor, a 43-year-old man from Midland, was treated at the scene and released. On Saturday, Liborio Iglesias, 52, of La Mesa, was killed around 1:45 a.m. in Martin County when the driver of a 2012 Kenworth truck and trailer turned from southbound State Highway 176 onto northbound State Highway 349 right in front of his Dodge Journey. DPS reports detailed, Iglesias' vehicle struck the Kenworth's trailer. The driver of the Kenworth, a 58-year-old man from Hempstead, was uninjured. 35 minutes later, David Keo Havong, a 31-year-old from Rossville, Georgia, was struck and killed by an unknown vehicle that was traveling south on Loop 338 at milepost 284, roughly 4 miles outside of Odessa. According to authorities, Keo Havong was intoxicated and in the roadway when he was struck. Anyone with information is asked to call Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS or the Texas Department of Public Safety at 432-498-2131. In addition, the Midland Police Department investigated a fatal accident Monday morning that closed all of the railroad crossings from Fairgrounds Road to Terrell Street Monday morning. More details will be reported as they become available. Student arrested for possession of a weapon. EZISD and the Odessa Police Department received a tip Monday morning that a student attending summer school at Bonham Middle School could be in possession of a gun, a news release detailed. ECISD police and school leaders responded and found the 13-year-old male in possession of a gun. Police believe he brought the weapon to school to show other students. There is no indication he intended to harm anyone. He is now charged with places weapons prohibited, a third-degree felony, and will also face disciplinary action from the school district. The release said ECISD would like to thank those who came forward with the information. If you see something, say something is more than just a slogan. It is an imperative for all of us to follow in order to help keep our community safe. We also want to thank the officers and campus leaders who moved quickly to find the student and take him into custody. ECISD, together with other local law enforcement agencies, has very specific protocols in place for responding to this type of incident, and we are grateful for the cooperation between these agencies, the release said. DPS searching for suspect involved in fatal hit and run. The Texas Department of Public Safety is looking for a suspect in connection to a fatal hit and run that happened early Saturday morning. The reported fatal hit and run occurred at 2:20 a.m. June 18th on Loop 338, Post 284, about 3.7 miles south of Odessa. The DPS press release detailed. DPS detailed the pedestrian was identified as 31-year-old David Keohavong of Rossville, Georgia. He was pronounced dead at the scene by the Ector County Medical Examiner's Office. Preliminary information shows an unknown vehicle was traveling southbound on Loop 338 at milepost 284, the press release stated. Keohavong was intoxicated and in the roadway. The pedestrian was struck by the unknown vehicle, which fled the scene. Anyone with information about this crash is asked to contact Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS or the Texas Department of Public Safety at 432-498-2131.
Hello, this is Michael with an additional article from the Odessa American's Inside page from Tuesday, June 21st. Man accused of opening fire on home. A Katy, Texas man was arrested Thursday, 4 days after witnesses said he opened fire on a home during an argument with his girlfriend. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officer received a shots fired call from the 1000 block of West 10th Street around 2 a.m. June 12th. Officers were told Juan Quintero, 40, got into an argument with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's brother interceded. During a fistfight between the two men, witnesses said Quintero went to his Ford F-150, got a gun, and fired it. They said he then got into his pickup and fired his gun again while he was driving away. According to the report, officers found several cartridge casings outside the girlfriend's home, and they also found defects in the north wall of her home and in the west wall of a neighbor's. In addition, officers discovered some of the bullets had traveled through the walls of the girlfriend's home, which was occupied by several teenagers, the report stated. Quintero knew the kids were in the home because he had spent most of the day there, according to the report. Quintero was booked into the Ector County Jail Thursday on suspicion of 2 counts of deadly conduct discharging a firearm and 4 counts of endangering a child intentionally, knowingly, recklessly. He was released Saturday after posting surety bonds totaling $46,000.
Shots for Tots, COVID vaccinations start for little U.S. kids. Little Fletcher Pack woke up Monday morning and said, "Is today vaccine day?" For the 3-year-old from Lexington, South Carolina, the answer was yes. The nation's infants, toddlers, and preschoolers are finally getting their chance at COVID-19 vaccinations as the U.S. rolls out Shots for Tots this week. Shipments arrived in some locations over the weekend and some spots, including a Walgreens in South Carolina and another in New York City, opened up appointments for Monday. Fletcher's mother said that once her son is fully vaccinated, he can finally go bowling and visit the nearby Children's Museum. "He's never really played with another kid inside before," Mackenzie Pack said. "This will be a really big change for our family." She began seeking an appointment last week as U.S. regulators took steps to okay the vaccines for kids 6 months to 5 years old. "It's just a relief," said Pack. "With this vaccine, that'll be his best shot at going back to normal and having a normal childhood." The Food and Drug Administration greenlighted the Moderna and Pfizer kid shots on Friday, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended them Saturday. In the U.S., COVID-19 vaccines were first tested and given in late 2020 to healthcare workers and older adults. Teens and school-aged children were added last year. "This is certainly an exciting moment in what has become a very long campaign to vaccinate people against COVID-19," said Dr. Matthew Harris, an emergency room pediatrician at Northwell Cohen Children's Medical Center in New York. "Roughly 18 million youngsters under 5 are eligible. It is just a huge step toward normalcy," said Dr. Deborah Langlois, pediatrician at University of Michigan Health, C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. "We're 2-plus years into this pandemic, and there's things that my 4-year-old will never be able to do," Langlois said. The family skipped a trip to Disneyland and a popular Michigan vacation island because the ferry ride to Mackinac Island would mean mingling with unmasked passengers. President Joe Biden, public health authorities, and pediatricians hailed the moment, but they also acknowledge that getting some parents on board may be a challenge given disappointing vaccination rates, about 30% in school-age kids. The CDC advises vaccination even for those who already had COVID-19 to protect against reinfection and said it is okay to get other vaccines at the same time. For the littlest kids, there's Pfizer's 3-shot series or Moderna's 2 shots. In New York's largely Latino neighborhood of Washington Heights, Dr. Juan Tapia Mendoza's clinic has ordered 300 doses of the tot-sized vaccines. He said he needs educational material that directly address misinformation spreading among his patients. His approach will be to tell parents, "If they were my kids, I would vaccinate them." Because the virus is still around, a lot of people are still dying because of coronavirus. Kids do get infected, and some kids get severely affected, and nobody wants to see a kid very sick. Some hospitals planned vaccination events later this week. Chicago is among locations that offer COVID-19 shots in people's homes and plan to open registration this week for home appointments for infants and other children, said Maribel Chavez-Torres, a deputy commissioner for the city's Department of Public Health. Dr. Pam Zeitland, director of pediatric medicine in National Jewish Health in Denver, recommends parents get their kids vaccinated as soon as possible. Some parents are afraid that the younger the kid, the more vulnerable they might be to vaccine side effects, Zeitland said. But that's not what Pfizer and Moderna studies found. Side effects were similar to what is seen with other childhood vaccines: fever, irritability, and fatigue.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.